precious possessions that we all really do have, whether we realize it or not. But we also have to be aware that we can spend it and not even know how we're spending it. So today, as we walk through today's message, I want you to really be open-minded. Are you having the time of your life? Are you making the best of your life time? I just got word this morning as I was in the men's restroom. One of our members, Adolfo, mentioned that his sister-in-law had just passed away this morning, and he got the phone call. And it just hit me that her time was up. It's a reality that we all have to embrace. And so as you listen today, ask yourself, when's the last time that I took a time out to really examine my time? Because God wants you to really capitalize on your time while you have it. While you have it. Time is short. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the time that you have allotted each one of us to have in our lives. And I pray that as we pause this moment, that you'll just enrich us with insight about how we are living our lives and whether that is truly what we want. Give us the courage, if we need to make changes, to make those changes that will truly make worth our time in the long run. Speak to us as we listen openly. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. How are Americans spending their time? That's a good question. Let me give you a little insight on that. Americans live about 25,550 days, which is on average about 70 years. I'd say that's a good life span, 70 years. My dad passed away at 59. I'm 50. So the older you get, the more real it seems like I may be running out of time. But yet, 70 is a good year. How much time do we spend working? 17 years of our lives we spent working. How much time do we actually spend playing and watching TV? Any idea? Would you believe 11 years? And I'm talking solid minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, 11 years worth on television and playing. How much time do we spend traveling, whether it's in the car, in the bicycle, the plane? I don't think anybody does the buggy anymore except when I'm with Logan and we're doing a little buggy ride somewhere. 6 years traveling. We also spend 6 years eating. Now, that's one that I don't mind too much. How much time do you spend waiting in line? Maybe that's why we get so frustrated, right? It's like, man, 6 years waiting in line for something. That's a long time. How many years do we spend house cleaning? 4 years. If you're married, you might want to talk to your spouse. Hey, you know, could you cut me some slack? You take half, I'll take the other two. How much time do we spend in church? If you added up all the hours in a lifetime, would you believe it's only 1 year? That's it. Just 1 year. And so it's obvious to me that if you compare 11 years of television versus 1 year of church, there's no wonder which one is influencing you more, right? You get a whole lot more exposure with the television. In 1 year's time, an average American completes 3,000 notices and forms, reads 100 newspapers, 36 magazines, watches in that 1 year 2,463 hours of TV, listens to the radio 730 hours, bought 20 music CDs, and spent 21 hours on the phone. I don't think that included texting. That's a long time. But here's a question for you. Do you realize that your current life, as you have it here on the earth, is only in preparation for eternity? Well, think about that for a second. If your life was a book, your life on earth is only the introductory chapter for the rest of all the chapters in your book. That's a scary thought, because it makes you realize that your time on earth is really pretty short compared to eternity, which is endless, without end. And so you have to ask yourself then, if this life right now is only in preparation for my eternal life, and how I live now will determine where and how I will live that eternal life, then the way I'm spending my time should hopefully have an eternal difference. And if it's not making no difference whatsoever in, for my eternal life, then I'm really wasting my time. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Oh, we're just killing time"? If that's really true, you could say you're committing suicide. You're throwing your time away. You're wasting it. It is of no value whatsoever. And so, as we walk through today's message, think, reflect on how this impacts how you're doing life right now. Notice the first passage on your outline, Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us. We've got some learning to do. Teach us what? Teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Circle, if you would, the phrase, recognize how few they are. He's saying, listen, have you come to the realization that your life is short? That your days are numbered? You need to understand that that's reality. And notice then, why do you do that? Help us to spend them as we should. You see, when you have a reality check, it forces you to make some changes, to do things differently. Time is an interesting thing. We used to go camping every summer when I was growing up, and we loved going camping. I used to work with my dad in the summer in construction. And this may have happened to you, but it just seemed like the very last week before we went on vacation, it was the longest week of the year. Right? And the minute you're on vacation, somebody sped up the clock, and you go like, man, we're already in day 4 out of 7. It's like, this is going too fast. Isn't that funny the way that works? When you are enjoying it, it's flying. When it's bad news, it's dragging. But yet, the reality is, time is ticking the same, regardless of the circumstances. We can't stop time. We can't speed it up. We can't slow it down. All we can do is live it for what it is. So let me summarize today's message. Notice in the box, if you learn anything today, this is it. My problem isn't time. It's my choices. And I only have just enough time to do God's will. Let that sink in a little bit. We complain, I just don't have enough time. I can't get it done. Listen, time is not really a problem. It's not lack of time. Your problem is how you're managing the time. Your problem is your lack of effectiveness with your time. Are you with me? And so we've got to get the focus of the frustration, of the complaining, of the, you know, the clock. We've got to get the focus on us and ask us, ourselves, why did I do that? Why am I doing this? Because we're making choices, and that's where the problem is at. And if our lives are really that short, if God has already numbered, He already knows how many days you get on this earth. You got to make Him count. Remember when Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be required? I was thinking about that passage relative to time. You know, some people live to be 8, 28, 38. Okay, some get to 70. But if you really think about that passage, guess who is going to be held more accountable for the longer span of time of life that they had, that 70-year-old. If I've got 28 years, then I got to make the best of my 28. If I have 70, I better have made the best of my 70, because all of us want to have a long lifespan, right? But you also need to realize God is going to hold you accountable for that period of time. So as we walk through today's message, four steps that you need to look at if you're going to really change how you're doing time. The first one, you need to analyze your lifestyle. You need to take a time out in your travel time and say, what is going on? Because I think a lot of times it just goes over our head. We're going like, where did my time go? And we just need to take a time out and say, that's a good question. Where did it go? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, look carefully. In other words, take some time to really examine, to really look at carefully. Give your undivided attention to your time relative to how you live your time. God's Word says, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. If you're going to save time, you need to look at what is it that is stealing your time. How are you losing time? You need to be able to identify specifically where is your time going. I took a financial class, and in that class, they asked us to do a 30-day inventory of our money for 30 days. And they said, you know, every receipt, every Coke that you buy, you know. And I thought, man, this is a drag. Because, you know, you go about your day, you buy your Coke, you eat whatever, and you don't really think about how much money you're spending, right? But at the end of the 30 days, I was amazed at how much money really I had and how much of it went here and there that I never really consciously thought of until I saw it on paper. Well, here's your assignment for this week. Do a time inventory, a time log, like we saw in the video, of where your time is going. Literally, get a piece of paper, okay, and write down, okay, if you get up at 6 a.m., just write on 6 a.m. and go about your duties, all right? And do this however it works for you. You know, for the guys, you know, we have to be at work at 7, and, you know, we get up at 6:45 and no problem, right? We can brush our teeth, get dressed, everything, drive, and be there in 15 minutes. Now, for the women, it's a little different. And so women, just write down how much time you spent putting on makeup. I know I talk about this to my wife all the time. It's obvious she wears more makeup than I do, so it's going to take longer, but I'm still trying to figure out how, I'm not going to say how much, but I don't really know, but I know it's a long time, it seems. Why are you doing this? You want to find out how you're using your time. Because if you do this for a week, you might find out, wow. If you're a lady, you might find out, I use 2 hours a day, that's 7 days, 14 hours, just to put on makeup. Now, I'm not saying that's the case for you. I'm just saying as an example. Okay? And I think it's going to be a wake-up call because you realize that must really be important to me. And should it be that important? See? That's the real question. Now, guys, for you might be the television. But here's what I want you to realize, as we said earlier, my problem isn't time. My problem is my choices with my time. And by the way, you only have just enough time to do what God really wants you to do. That does put a little pressure to us because we're having to now struggle, wrestle with God's agenda versus my agenda, God's plan versus my plan. Secondly, after you've analyzed what's going on with your time in your lifestyle, prioritize what's important. Once you've got your list of what happened, then ask yourself, okay, what is most important on this list? And maybe you want to just put a one there. I cannot compromise not doing this. This should be a one on my list. Now, you might find out by the end of the week that in reality, you only spend 2 hours with your kids. Now you may say, it's just that I don't have time. Let's debunk that myth. You had just as much time as every other person, but you used it differently. So be willing to embrace whatever that reality is. Notice God's word. There is a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. Sometimes we just need to write it down and say, like, wow, this is very revealing. I did not know this about me. Second passage read, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasp. Can you circle understand and firmly grasp? You need to be firmly grasping. It is so clear to you. You've got a very good handle on what? What is the will of the Lord? Could you say clearly, state convincingly what God's will is for your life? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you could say, this is God's will for my life. Well, God wants you to know what His will is for your life so that you can spend your time wisely fulfilling what's really most important. Time management is not about getting more done in less time. Some of us think we're really good about time management because we can do 100 things in one day. Right? We might even brag about it. But that's not what I'm talking about here today. What I'm talking about is you need to learn to do less. Because it's impossible for you to say, I have 100 important things on my list for today. There's no way they could all have the same value. There's no way that you could convince your wife that your car has the exact same value that she has. Although she might say, you know, you're absolutely right because you spend more time with your car than you do with me. And so you have to begin to weigh what is really more important and what do I need to spend less time on and spend more time on? Because it's going to change the course of your day. Now imagine one day you get up to heaven and have this conversation with God. And God says something like this. Why did you care so much for this or for that? For example, he says, I see you really like, you know, jewelry. Gold, for example. And God says, you know, you really killed yourself because you really wanted that, you know, that gold necklace and that gold ring and that gold this and that gold that and the gold rims and, you know, gold was in for you. Right? And then God says, take a look outside. What do you see? Oh, it's pretty. Well, no, I mean, but what do you see? Well, I see that the street is made out of gold. Uh-huh. What does that tell you? Wow, you got a lot of gold up here. You're in the gold. I'm in the gold. Hey, we're on the same boat. No. If I use gold for asphalt, why did you spend so much of your life going after it, chasing it, when it's no big deal up here? Do you see what I'm saying? And you begin to wrestle with what is God's perspective versus your perspective, and you begin to say, you know what, I give way too much time and attention to this, when really for God, it's like, it's no big deal. And so you have to reprioritize, rearrange what you thought was important for what is really important. My problem isn't time. It's my what? It's my choices. And I only have just enough time to do God's will. Thirdly, economize your energy. Take a good hard look at where your time is going. Prioritize what really should be important. Thirdly, economize your energy. Listen, you need some strength to accomplish what's important, so you're going to have to rethink how you're resting, how you're relaxing, how you're recreating, because, you know, you need strength. 1 Corinthians 10:23 reads, I may do anything, but everything is not useful or constructive. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do. There's nothing wrong with going skydiving or, you know, doing this or doing that. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's not the question. The question is, Is it really imperative? Is it really important? Is it truly critical that you do that? God says, yeah, there's a lot of things you could do. It's not a sin to do this or to do that. It's just there's some things you don't need to be doing. They're not necessarily evil. They're just not necessary. And so we have to streamline what is truly necessary. What is the difference between this is a good thing, but this is the best thing? And I want to go after the best thing. Because if I spend time just on the good things, well, I'll never get to the best things. Someone wrote, more time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over. That's good. I think for a lot of us, we're saying, like, it's not like I'm out, you know, stealing hubcaps. No, you're right, you're not. But you got a whole lot of little holes in your bucket. So, you know, that's just as bad. And so you need to channel your energy. You may say, you know, Pastor, I'm just so tired physically. I just want to go to bed. I'm so mentally drained. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to hear nothing. And you might ask yourself then, how did you get there? Because you're obviously involved in some things that are sucking out that energy from you. And are those the things that should have sucked out that energy? And you're going like, well, I don't know. Let me get back to you. And you go back in your room, and I hear some gunfire's going. And you're going like, oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Ah, and I'm going like, man, that boy got possessed or something. Oh, what's going on in there? Right? And 8 hours later, Pastor Ray, you know, I'd love to go to that Bible study, but, you know, I am so tired. I mean, you have no idea. I feel like I've been shot at. There'd be a whole lot more truth in your statements than you even realize. And so you need to create some barriers, because there are going to be some people that are going to come to you and say, hey, I need you to do this. And you say, okay, I'm there for you. I need you to do that. And you know what? You're trying to please everybody and anybody, and I'm telling you, it can't be done. And you know who you definitely do need to please, though? It's God. I'd rather hurt a friend's feelings than God's feelings. And so for some of us, you know what the hardest thing that we could ever do, but probably the most wisest, most powerful move we could ever make to manage our time better? You know what that is? You might want to write this down, because this is probably going to cost you about $100. Just say no. That's deep, isn't it? You can pay me later. Just say no. Hey, I'm really sorry, but... And I know I've done this to some of you. I try not to answer the phone, but I do answer the phone even though it's my day off. I'm taking it easy. But you know, for you, it's an emergency, Pastor. Right? See, and you call the first time, and I'm going like, But then you're smart. You see, then you text. Pastor, I really need to talk to you. It's important. I go, oh, why did I even look? You know, my mind begins to work. Mental energy is like, you know, somebody could be in the hospital, right? They could have just had a marriage dispute, and, you know, things are really hot. You know, like, I don't know if I want to lose this member because they're a good tither, right? You know, your mind really wanders off, way off sometimes. And so then I call you, and then I find out what it really is, and I say, you know what, why don't we do this? Why don't you, I have an opening, you know, 2 days from now at such and such. Why don't we meet then at such and such a place? Oh, that's not fast enough. Well, it's as soon as I can get to you. You see, I've got a whole lot of other fires to put out too. It's hard when people say no. And I've had people tell me like, well, Pastor, that's a long time to have to wait. But it's good to be able to say, you know what, let me tell you why you're going to have to wait 2 days. Because I think you are so important that I've had to prioritize to see so-and-so first because they called me last week and then so-and-so and so-and-so. So in reality, I'm doing exactly with you what I'm doing with this is I'm making time for everybody. But without taking it away from my wife, because my wife right now and I are watching a romantic comedy. See? And we need time to laugh together. Does that make sense? I have used up my strength but accomplished nothing, Isaiah 49:4. Yeah, you may be tired, you may be feeling really drained, but it may be just because, well, you're using it on the wrong stuff and you need to reserve yourself for the right stuff. What are you doing with your downtime? What do I mean by downtime? When you're driving in the car to work. Anytime you're in the car. You know, my car, now that I've got a new car, because my old car, you know, I was always going to worry, like, if it's going to start smoking or break down, it's like a spa. No, the AC does work. It's not that. But, you know, I just relax. I'll turn on the radio, listen to some Christian music, try to relax as I'm going maybe from one appointment to another. It's a safe place of peace and tranquility for me to take advantage of. So I don't see downtime as a bad thing. I see it as a good thing. You know, for you, it may be, you know what? That may be the best time for you to listen to God's Word being taught. It may be the best time for you to put in that CD from Sunday's message and say, like, I missed it. I want to hear this message. That your car may be your university. As you're being constantly taught. Because you're driving, you don't have anything else to do, so you're taking advantage of that time to learn while you're driving. If you want to try the Yvonne approach and you want to sing and raise your hands, do not drive without hands, okay? That could be dangerous. God will accept one hand up. That's okay. My problem isn't time. It's what? My choices. And I only have just enough time to do what? To do God's will. You will see me if I go to the doctor's office, if I go to the dentist's office, if I go to the car repair shop. Almost always you will see me with a book in my hand. You know why? To me, those are opportune times to make the best of them. And unless somebody knows who I am, I don't have to counsel anybody. I don't have to teach. You know, I just take advantage of the time for myself to learn and grow while I'm sitting there reflecting. But lastly, number four, utilize the present. Are you living in the past? Has anybody ever told you, like, girl, when are you going to get over it? Has anybody ever told you, like, you know, all you ever talk about is the good old days. The good old days, that's yesterday. Okay, fine, great. I affirm you for it, but you know what? You cannot relive yesterday. It's gone. It's behind you. So quit wasting your time dwelling on the past, good, bad, or ugly. You need to live the present. That's all you have right now. You may have had a great day yesterday or a horrible day yesterday, but regardless of what it was, listen, today's a new day. Okay? So just say, hey, I got a new fresh start today. I'm going to take advantage because it's a new day. And all God holds me accountable for is right now, this very minute. Because there's no even guarantee that you'll be alive tomorrow. Something could happen to you tomorrow. I think some of us maybe were saying, well, you know, that's not me. I've buried the past. But you're always in the future, right? I have to work with this because, you know, sometimes my wife tells me things and she claims that she said it, but I don't remember. Has that ever happened to you? And I think she's going to start recording herself so that she can show me, you see, I said it, you see. One of us was lying and it wasn't me. But I'm always thinking ahead about what's next week and next month and the future. And, you know, I'm trying to really become a better dreamer. But I got to remember that I'm not there yet, so I still have to live right now. Okay? You might be saying, I want to have a better marriage, a greater relationship with my son. You know, I can't wait till, you know, he gets to be 18 so I can kick him out. You know, I don't know what you're thinking. All I'm saying is, look, let time take its course. Do what you got to do right now. Okay? Because how you handle right now may very well change what happens when they're 18. You may be going like, son, please, I beg you, stay. I will wash your laundry. I will do whatever it takes. It's just that the last 2 years have been so wonderful compared to the other 16. Now I don't want you to go. And it's because you decided to make each day really count towards that future. And then you begin to live that reality. Ephesians chapter 5, 16, make the most of your opportunities. But notice the way the passage ends. Because these are evil days. It almost seems like it's out of place, that last phrase. Hey, make the best of your time, because you know what? Times are tough. You live in a horrible culture. You know what? You don't have a job, so hey, just make the best of it, all right? Hey, why are you so happy? Because you can still make the best of it. You see, God is not surprised that my marriage is falling apart, or that my kid is rebelling, or that I'm trying to look for a job, or things didn't work out the way I planned them. God is not surprised. He's saying, hey, look, what do you expect? We live in an imperfect world, and things happen, but that's not really the question I'm trying to answer. The question I'm trying to answer is, are you learning how to deal with it with my will in it? So that whatever time you have for today, you can say, you know what? I made the best of it. I really did. One of our members was sharing how he got arrested and went to jail for feeding the homeless. Now, when's the last time that happened to you? But the problem was that, you know, he had some unpaid tickets and, you know, his history haunted him that day. And so he went off to the corner and he got in a little huddle and he said, God, I cannot believe you're doing this to me. Lord, have mercy on my soul. I pity myself that I'm being punished for doing good. He didn't do that. You know what amazed me about his experience? He said, man, I had a great time in jail. I was like, oh, really? Well, what kind of jail was this? Like, this is like a, you know, special celebrity jail? Or, you know, where? If I ever go to jail, can you show me where that is at so I can tell him to send me to this particular one, please? He used his time to deal with a lot of guys that were in there for different reasons. Some of them needed to be there to talk to them about Jesus. To show them how, despite his situation, his circumstance, that God was teaching him some things while in jail. You know what he was doing? He was making the most of his opportunity. Because not every day you get to jail, right? I mean, it's not every day you do go to jail. So what, you know what you do? God, if you ever send me to jail, I already know what I'm going to do when I get there. See? I'm going to do your will. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 4 reads, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will do what? It's never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. God is telling you up front, look, can I be honest with you? If you're waiting for the right moment, the right circumstance, the right this, the right that, you know what? You're chasing after something that is not real. It doesn't exist. What should you be doing with your time? Let me give you, as I close, in rather overview fashion, on the second page of your outline, we ask the question, what is God's will? Whatever God cares about, that's what I should care about. Because he's saying that's the definition of success. The acrostic is the word cares, C-A-R-E-S, and it's based on that passage. It's about love. Everything I do should be about love relationships. Everything. And there's five ways that I can show God that I understand and live a life of love. And here it is. The C is for connecting with God intimately. Now, ask yourself this question. Where are you, if you had to rate yourself from 1 to 10, what would you say is your number today on connecting with God? And after you write that number down, then if we ask somebody that knows you very, very well, would they match that number or would they give you a different number? See, God's word says, draw close to God and God will do what? See, everybody wants to be close to God, but nobody wants to get close to God. And God's not going to take the first move. He's waiting on you to take the first move because he's already demonstrated his first move. It was on the cross. And so you need to be about connecting with God intimately. If you never do that, you can forget everything else on this list because that's where it starts. You're discovering what it means to be loved by God. But secondly, aligning with Christ in my lifestyle. This is what, when everything I say, everything I do, everything that I am is about Christ. I want my actions, my attitudes, my values, everything to be aligned with who He is in my life because my identity is found in Him. Passage reads 1 Timothy 4:7. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Everybody wants to be spiritually fit, but to experience that, you're going to have to undergo some training. You're going to have to learn how to pray. You're going to have to learn how to read God's word and how to develop listening skills. You're going to have to learn how to do what He says do. There's some obedience involved to show that you really trust Him. He says, all right, I'm glad that you're following me. Now, here's a test. I want to see if you really trust me. This is what I want you to do. You got to make a decision. You got to make a choice whether you're going to do this or not. And some of us may go, like, what if God was saying, well, I want you to go to India? Well, for some of us, it may go, well, you know what? I don't think I'm ready to go to India. But maybe if I worked on my relationship with God, that might lead me to eventually considering it. But at this point, what we're talking about is all I know is I want to be like God. That's all I know. Because God says, if I want that, He will bless me. I will find favor. He will open doors that I can't open. He will be the one that makes things happen for me. Thirdly, E is for engaging with the needs of others. I'm sorry, I left out the R. R is for relating with others in love. You see, I think a lot of people say they believe in God, that God loves them, that even that they love God, and they're trying to do, you know, the right thing, they're trying to do more good than bad. But you know, nobody could ever do more than enough good for God. I mean, that's why He died on the cross, because we can never measure up. So He's already performed for us. We're just learning how to love ourselves the way He's loved us by making right choices. We're learning how to then not just love Him, love ourselves, but love other people. One of the ways that we do that is that we spend time with other people who are like Him. The church is a laboratory to learn how to love. Now you may be going like, wow, I'm glad I go to church. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about being the church. I'm talking about practicing your love with other Christians. Notice the passage. Encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Hebrews 3:13. We need each other. Why do we have Living Loud groups throughout the week? We need each other. That's where you really get to know each other. That's how you develop friendships. That's how you develop deeper relationships that are truly satisfying and long-lasting. If you're not involved in a Living Loud group right now, I'd say like, okay, how are you practicing church if you have no connections with the church? There's only one way you're going to learn how to love people is you get practice by being around others and hearing their story. And I go, wow, I thought I had a bad man. I need to pray for you. Wow, you got an anger problem? Hey, I do too. Hey, man, high five. High five. Woo. We're not saying high five to the anger. We're saying we're all on the same journey. We all got things we're working on. And what better way to do it than realizing I'm not alone. I have other people that I can relate to, that I can empathize with, and they can identify with me. There's a sense of belonging and connectedness because we're all on the same team. Engaging with the needs of others. E. Passage reads Proverbs 3:27-28. Do all you can for everyone who deserves your help. Don't tell your neighbor to come back tomorrow if you can help today. If you say you care about others around you, then you need to be aware of what's going on. What's going on? If you've got a friend that just broke up with a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know what? Now might be the time for you to say, "Wow, man, well, come over to my house." You're looking out for them. Because right now, they're thinking like, "I don't know if I even want to live." Or maybe they think, "You know what? I'm just going to go get drunk and, you know what? Try to escape." And you're going like, "No, man, come over to my house. Let's talk." What are you doing? You're engaging their need. You're making their need your need. You're helping them out. You're caring for them. I think one of the issues with Christianity is we're saying the right things, we're just not backing it up. And so people who aren't Christians are going like, "Well, you know, it sounds like you got the right message. I just don't see a whole lot of proof." But if you say nothing about your message, but you live it out for them, they're going like, "Man, why are you such a nice guy? I mean, you could be, you know, so-and-so at such and such a place, having a good time, but you're here with me. Why do you care for me this way?" Now you can tell them why. Now you can say, "Well, let me tell you why." And that's the last one, sharing with others about Jesus. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. If you really love them, you need to respect them. You need to be gentle with them. Okay? If they're smoking in front of you, you don't say, "Well, I'll tell you what, man, put out that cigarette, then I can talk to you." You don't say, well, later for you, man. Right? I was in a situation with the police department because, you know, I ride with the officers and somebody had committed suicide. And this guy lived with this old lady in the same house. And, you know, the police are there. It's a smoking environment. She's smoking when the officer says, "Well, this is Reverend Ray Martinez. And he's here to help you however he can, you know, deal with the situation." And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Reverend. You know, do I need to put my cigarette out?" You know what I could have said? "You got that right. I mean, I don't wear this white collar for, you know, for looks." No. I said, "That's quite all right, ma'am. I can tell that you're pretty broken up about it and you seem a little nervous." "Oh, yeah, I understand, you know." "Okay, well, do I call you Reverend? Should I call you Father?" You know, it's like, "Ma'am, you can just call me Ray. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just here to help you the way I can." What was I doing? I was putting it at ease. I was saying, "Hey, look, I value you. Even though, you know, I could get cancer because I'm breathing her smoke, but why would I sacrifice my body?" You want to tell you why? Jesus sacrificed his life for her. So I may have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit here and there, get my hands dirty. Why? Because they're worth it. They're really worth it. Some of you may not be going to India this year. It's not too late to go. We're still looking for another teen or two to go. Why are they going? Because they need Christ. Christianity may be alive and well in some countries, but in India, I forgot what the percentage was. Was it 3%? It's really low. It's unheard of. And so they're going there to share about this Jesus that has made a difference in their lives. Even if it means eating their food and going to the restroom 5 times a day in a kimono that's a little different from ours. You know what I'm saying? "Oh, that sounds a little inconvenient to me." If you love people, God will give you the strength to do it. Let me close by saying this. What's holding you back? Why are you procrastinating? Maybe you've been here one day. Maybe you've been here several months. What are the excuses that you might want to say, this is the reason why I'm not ready yet? You know what God is saying? He's saying, hey, look, all you have to do is cross the line. Just cross the line. I'll help you. You're not doing this on your own. I'm going to carry you through it. And as we journey together, you're going to change in a way that you have never been able to change on your own before. But trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I will show you a step at a time. God wants you to have the time of your life right now. It really does. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to the earth for 33 years to just show us that He really does care for us in a love that had never seen before to that degree. And so, Father, we know without a shadow of a doubt that you really do care. You've given us life. And you've given us the freedom to make choices about how we do life. Time is valuable, and we all have it. Father, we all really do desire to make our lives count, to have no regrets when it's all said and done. Father, we ask that you would just show us, illuminate our mind so that we could understand what life is truly all about, so that we could center ourselves more fully with your plans and purposes for our lives, so we could be about doing more of the things that you say are truly fulfilling and satisfying and eternally impacting. So Father, as we walk out today, help us, Lord, help us analyze what's going on in our lives. Lord, help us prioritize. Help us say no to some things we realize we're just wasting our time on. Father, give us the strength that we need to do the things that really are important as we stop doing the things that we no longer need to do. And Father, even help us. Help us, Lord, to just realize that even if it means just taking that one step in the present, will make a big difference many steps later in the future. Thank you, God, that we don't have to worry about yesterday, no matter what we've done. You'll forgive us. We don't have to worry about how am I going to get to this place or that place with the time that we have. You will show us. Thank you that we can just live today. Even as we walk out today, let us enjoy today. And Father, we do want to be more about your will. And so I pray that you would help us balance what it means to be caring people, to make time to connect with you, to make time to line ourselves up more fully with what you desire in our lives, to make time for other people that we need strength from, that they need our strength, to relate to them in love. Father, to make time to be aware of all those needs around us that we could be used by you to make a difference on. To make the time to even tell them why. So it would be very clear that there is a reason why we are the way we are. Again, Lord, we value you. You are the eternal Father where time is endless. And you said that we can have this gift of eternal life as well. It's a gift, and we thank you for that. We receive it. And we want to use it wisely. Now, if you don't know Christ today, let me speak to you for a moment. Just tell him today, God, I need you. I need you more than anything else in the world. And today I acknowledge you as my time manager. Thank you for forgiving me for all those times that I looked the other way and I did my own thing and I did some damage. Thank you for forgiving me of those things. But thank you also that you not only love me in your mercy and forgiveness and love in grace, but you also care enough to show me a better way, to empower me to live the life that I'm looking for, a satisfying life, an enriching life, a life that really makes a difference. And so I walk with you beginning today, with you as my lead. It's because of Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. I embrace that and thank you for it today. And all God's people said, in Jesus' name, amen.